welcome back to From the Word Ghost, the paranormal podcast for believers and skeptics alike. I'm your host, AJ, and every week I bring a brand new paranormal story to try and convince my skeptic co-host, Jamie.
That's me!
Of all things paranormal. Before we get started in today's episode, we ask if you like the content to leave a 5-star review on any podcast listening platform. I started laughing because the yawn.
Oh, because I yawned
pre it's me.
You see, the timing was excellent.
Impeccable.
I just managed to stop just before there's me. And no one would have known. So thanks, Aaron.
Mate, you call me out on a weekly basis. I'm just happy to get one in, if
God
I'm honest.
Damn it. I'm tired today. There'll be many of you.
This is going to make great content for people. The most amount of episodes that people have fallen asleep. This week...
A sleepy time story. A bedtime story. This week, no ghosts here.
It's just going to be an hour of us snoring.
Yeah.
So you're in for a treat. Today, we are looking at not only one of the most haunted houses in Canada, it is also technically the first house in Fox Street, Ontario, Canada.
Ooh, the first house on Fox Street. That means nothing to me, Aaron. What's the first? It's like me saying, it's the first house on Smith Street in England. Like, oh, okay, yeah.
I am about to tell a paranormal story. I have to fit as much facts in as humanly possible. And this is a fact. It's the first house on Fox Street.
This is a fact. The ghosts, me.
Shit, I didn't think this through. We're going to start today's episode by exploring the construction and the original family of the house, the Beck family. When wealthy lumber merchant Charles Beck also...
Is it Charles Beck? You've got Carl Beck.
Let me finish
the
sentence.
No, it's fine, I'm just checking.
I did make an edit before.
That's fine, I'm just checking before.
Yeah.
Cool, go again.
When healthy lumber merchant...
Wealthy. It's good to know.
Hell.
It's good to know he's healthy.
This will bode well for
well.
You in the ghost story. When wealthy lumber...
When hot ass, wealthy, healthy... Carl Beck, Charles Beck maybe, who
Come
knows?
Come on down, no likey, no lighty. When wealthy lumber merchant Charles Beck, also known as Carl by those close to him, ran for mayor... Oh, Jesus, I didn't think this through.
Oh, what the name?
I'm going to go Penetanguishene. That's pretty...
I mean, yeah.
That's right.
Should we find out?
Yeah, let's find out.
Let's find out how wrong you are. What did you say it was?
Penetanguishene?
I mean...
That's got to be close.
It's better than anything I would have guessed. I'm not going
to
lie
to you. I struggle to read 3-letter words on a weekly basis, but I think I've nailed this one.
How to pronounce...
The anticipation.
How is there like a 5-minute video on how to say... Surely you just... Say the word.
Spot on, right?
You're definitely doing the research beforehand, like, oh, I don't know how to say this. Perfect pronunciation.
Poor stupid Aaron himself over.
Oh, yes, that's me.
He ran for mayor of Pen...
Oh, you've forgotten it now, though, haven't you?
Yeah. Penetanguishene in 1892. The Beck family were considered one of the town's founding families and were given the opportunity to build their house in the newly built Fox Street. And so they built a Queen Anne Victorian-styled house, the first of its kind in Canada at the time. But not only did Beck order the construction of his home, he also insisted in donating a plot of his land plus materials to build a church as well as a school.
All right, we get it. You're a good guy.
He's a good guy.
You're a good guy. But do you go to Tesco's, buy a drink, and then say, keep the change? Because I'm the real hero in this story.
When you go to Tesco's and you get a bag for life, do you use that bag for life?
Oh, no.
That would make you a good guy.
Never, never. That you're too good if you do that.
I've been in the lot. Not even eating what I've put in the bag. I've been in the lot just out of protest.
Every time I have to go to the shop, there's no carrier bags being taken.
No.
Only if Beck is there. And we forget them usually. They're still in the car.
Tell you what, I'm an Aldi food shopper, right? And I learned pretty quick with the velocity of these cunts that are fucking scanning the products. You need big bags at the ready.
It's
so
unreal,
I take big shopping bags.
Aldi, Iceland, any of them shops, you've got to fucking whack it in the bag.
It's like they're getting paid by a product.
It's like a supermarket sweep, but you got to pay for it.
These guys are on price work, 100%.
It's unreal, isn't it?
Get paid by product.
They get paid on commission with every person they fucking piss off.
Yeah, you know. You. How many grannies they hit with a bag of fucking beans?
Right to the head.
Cheers, Nan. Beck was well known not only for his business-minded approach to life, but also his love for the finer things in life. Often seen with the latest gadgets, and even the first owner of the town's first automobile.
What were the latest gadgets back in the 1800s?
I don't know, man.
It's like a fucking TV that plays nothing. It's still not using electricity like that. It's just, what is it? Like a stick with a feather on, chase it.
What was the game that people used to play where it was just a stick and there was just a hula hoop and they would just push it along? Have you ever seen that?
No.
Sticky Rolly or something.
Sticky Rolly! little bitty old Sticky Rolly.
Sticky Rolly.
I just invented this game.
Sounds like a standard Friday.
Aaron's Sticky Rolly Fridays. It's a new segment for the podcast.
Once the house had finished construction, the family had officially planted themselves in the spotlight of the townsfolk, now considered the town's first family and held in extremely high regard. Carl Beck, his wife Amelia, and his 9 children moved into the home, but were soon subjected to a series of unfortunate events that would change the dynamic of the family forever.
9 children? I wouldn't call that a family. I'd call that a football team, bro.
You know I said that he was always into his gadgets.
Yeah.
I think they're lying, because this guy was clearly bored. This guy was just shagging away
between
all
them,
the time.
They could play 5-a-side and still have one for the referee. Just to fucking keep tabs on the game.
If the mum and dad joined in, they've got an 11-a-side team. Fucking hell, imagine how expensive Christmas would be.
Oh, bro.
Fuck that. Yeah. Pick your favourites and they get presents this year.
That's why they're the first family. Everyone else like, fuck that. We ain't got the money for 9 kids.
Jason over here's got that new television. The Beck's family's 2 youngest children soon fell ill after moving into their new home. And with a lack of medicine available at the time, they soon passed away.
Someone's going to have to sit out on this game of football. We're 2 men down. There's no ref now either. It's every man for himself. No rules. The dad just slide tackling the shit out of all the kids.
Johnny and Sammy are out this game. Devastated by the loss of her youngest children, Amelia found herself struggling to cope with everyday life, understandably. She would also suffer the same fate as her 2 youngest. She passed away not 2 years after their deaths from a ruptured spleen.
Jesus. Cheerful story this, Aaron.
I know.
Cheers, mate. Good for the laughs. Good for the laughs.
I mean, I think we're doing all right.
She died. He died. She died. She died.
Well, they all died. Everyone dies.
We all die.
The sooner we accept
spoiler
it,
alert.
The sooner we can make fun of it. This is my approach on life.
Accept death. Laugh at yourself. Live life.
Because
live, laugh,
you
life,
too
die.
Are going to die. Life sucks and then you die. With Carl Beck being a busy businessman.
With Carl Beck being a busy businessman.
Too many bees.
I can't, buzzing around.
I can't possibly keep up. I feel like Brian Bidondi. He struggled to care for his children in the absence of their mother. He decided to resolve this issue by putting the role of mother on his eldest daughter, Mary. She was now made to cook, clean, and raise the remaining children of the house. Of course, Mary obliged and spent her entire youth raising not only herself, but her 6 other siblings, while her father often worked out of town or simply too busy to care for them himself.
Dead mom, absent father. Feels like both our lives are combining.
Oh, no!
One story, Aaron. I see why you were drawn to this one.
I instantly thought, me and Jay, just our shared pain.
Kindred spirits of the story of the Beck family house.
Now we've got to go. It's like this is the prophecy.
Fulfilled the prophecy.
The 2 unhappiest of the people must join together to stop the Beck's house. Eventually, Mary would fall in love with the neighbour. The pair grew very close and even planned their marriage. Mary broke the news to her father, informing him of her plans to move away from the family to get married and start a family of her own. Carl did not take kindly to this action in the slightest, but he remained relatively silent on the matter. It wasn't until Carl died that Mary understood the grudge that her father had over her. Being one of the richest men in the country at the time, Carl, in his will, left his entire fortune split between his children, all of his children, apart from Mary, to whom he left just $1.
What an arse.
Fucking total dick move.
Here,
right?
You become the caregiver whilst I fuck off down the pub. It's a dollar for your trouble.
Thanks for all that work that you did.
Exactly.
It has gone unnoticed.
Wow, it feels like my latest review. Wow. The worst. Were you in the meeting
the
somewhere?
Worst PDP I've ever seen.
Also, if you're the siblings, you'd split the money with her, right?
Surely.
She gave away her best part of her life to give you a mother figure, and you're like, but I want to buy
a speedboat.
Fuck
that bitch.
I want to buy a speedboat.
Mary hung around the house for the rest of her life, mad at her father's betrayal and cursing to never leave his home or let him rest. Eventually, Mary also died in the Beck house and would go on to be one of the house's most famous spirits. Former owners and recent visitors of the house claim that Mary's spirit is always active. Almost all of those that have visited the house and spent the night there say that once they had got settled into bed, they could feel hands on the bottom of the bed.
Better some change, boss. They only left me the $1.
I see you've got money to spare.
Oh, this is quite an expensive Airbnb. Not that I know what Airbnb is. I was from the 1800s.
From the 1800s.
But I've picked some stuff up in my time, and I can see you've got money.
Is cholera still a thing?
You only have 2 children? Ah, you're poor. I'll go somewhere
disgust
else.
Disgust me. They say that the sheets would be pulled and patted as if Mary is tucking them into bed. Not so hard to believe, considering this is something she was likely to have done every night for her younger siblings. So Mary's ghost seems pretty chilled out, right? Quite friendly, even, you would say. Well, no.
Spoiler alert. She's a bitch.
Stone cold bitch. Although almost all the guests have confirmed that they experienced her tucking them in, some are not sold on this theory. Some say that she was actually shooing them from the bed, irritated that they were staying in the house.
Oh, love, let me tuck you in. Do you want a nice hot coke? Oh, you can't move. Nice and snug. Now fuck off, man.
Yeah, my fucking ass.
Yeah, my gaff.
So indecisive. It's such a motherly thing to do, isn't it? My mum used to change up her tone all the time, like, so quick. She'd be nice as pie. I'd do one thing wrong. Fuck me. It was like I was the devil. Jesus Christ. Though most of the modern visitors describe the ghosts that haunt the house as welcoming and friendly, one visitor described his stay in the house, saying it was single-handedly the worst night of his life.
And it's my favourite time of the podcast. It's Aaron's weird voice time because we got a bit of script. This is a long script as well.
Yeah, this is like a third of the fucking story. I don't.
So you best make this voice extra good. That's what that means. You better get down to business.
Jamie, do you know how fucking long this is? This is like three pages.
Oh, Aaron, sorry, did I write the script?
No, you didn't write
the script. Oh, so you wrote the script. Get on with the fucking voice.
What should I go?
I don't want dilly dally.
What are we feeling this week?
Well, I think they're from Canada.
Oh, I've got to watch out for the oots.
How about it? How about it? It's American, but they said boot. Go on, watch a quick video on how to
speak
Canadian. God, we'll be back in a second.
How do Canadians sound?
I can't believe it.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's not good.
Oh, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
No!
Yeah. But Aaron,
oh,
you make these choices in your life.
I'm physically sweating. Can you see?
Yeah, I can.
This is, mate, every time I write a fucking voice in a story,
I
completely forget that it makes me so anxious.
Right.
When I first arrived at the party, that was Irish.
Irish Canadian, right? Forget the French Canadian people.
Irish Canadian
population. The more well-known Irish Canadian population.
This goes out to my Canadian Irish folks out there.
This goes out to my Irish Canadian brothers.
When I first arrived at the property, I exited my car and was admiring the old Victorian-style hoose.
I did it!
Yes! That was right. Yes! That was bang all right. Give me, yes! give me something for that.
Jesus, that was what effortless. What the hell was that? What the hell was that?
The hoose. It was.
And I saw that.
It was truly a beautiful home. Once I had grabbed my things from the trunk of my car, I began walking up the main path towards the hoose.
Honestly, that's how they say it. I just watched a video of a guy telling me how to pronounce house.
That's when I saw something that really confused me.
Really? We're back to the rallies. Really scary.
It was really scary.
I've gone southern again.
This is really taken away from like the serious part of the story. A woman in old Victorian clothing was walking across the street as if she was heading towards the old church.
Slipping into the summit.
I must have stood there staring at her for a couple of minutes before turning back towards the house.
Well, the hoose. Oh, hoose.
The hoose.
You missed it.
Dang it. And when I did, I was drawn to the top window. I looked up and saw the same woman I had just seen in the street, now stood in the middle of the window frame. She was angry and snarling her teeth. I had heard of the legends of this house. Hoose.
If you're gonna do it once, you gotta stick with it.
Fuck it. I heard about the legend of the hoose. But to see all of this within the first few minutes of being there was nothing short of eye-opening. As a skeptic, I often checked out locations such as these.
Oh my god. Oh my god. At the forefront of my mind.
But this hoose has me questioning everything.
This house has said so much. Oh, you need to start thinking about the consequences of your actions, brother.
I was shown around the hoose and to my room. I had sat my things in my room and decided to look around the hoose. I approached the room where I had seen the woman earlier. And to my surprise, there she was. She was standing in the middle of the room, hunched over and her shoulders moving up and down as if she was crying. I said, "Are you the ghost of Mary?" To which she stopped crying and slowly turned to face me. Her eyes locked with mine, and within an instant, she charged me.
Best one so far, I must say. Best one so far.
I feel like I'm going to pass out.
Why is the...
Oh, go on. Please be a question about the story and not the accident.
It's why is the immediate reaction to be ghost? Like, are you the ghost of Mary? No, I'm the
house... Do you work here?
I'm the hoose keeper.
Fucking hell. But no, Canadian jokes aside, terrifying, right? To think of someone stopping crying, slowly turning towards you and charging you.
Yeah.
Again, horror movie shit.
Oh, God. I can't. My eyes.
My lip is sweating.
My eyes.
When was the last time your lips sweat?
Tears.
Jesus Christ.
Tears.
Shaken and somewhat unsettled in this.
I didn't realize you were still
I've got another paragraph.
Aaron, what have you done to yourself?
And hoose is said at least once more. Shaken and somewhat unsettled in this hoose.
Fuck's sake.
Shaken and somewhat unsettled in this hoose, I thought it best to call it a day. I got in bed and started to doze off, but was awoken a few hours later by a rustling at the end of my bed. It was like something I couldn't see was patting my legs and pulling up my bed sheets. This went on for what seemed like forever, but all of a sudden it stopped. A few moments passed and silence filled the room, when all of a sudden the bedroom door busted open. A well-dressed man come running into the room and was being chased by the woman who was now screaming. I did not complete my stay at the Beck House.
I just love that your Canadian accent is essentially
American.
A toned down version of your southern accent with the word who's. That's the only difference.
You know what's even crazier is about isn't said once. I was looking forward to chucking a boot in somewhere, but thank fuck it's over.
Oh, well done. I respect
We've got to get sponsorship for these episodes, man. I need to start getting paid for this shit.
Well, don't fucking...
Don't write them in. But,
fucking don't expect,
but have to write
don't
them
expect
in.
Any fucking Canadian branding company to fucking represent us.
Yeah, I don't think Magic Spoon is coming out anytime soon, fam. So, is it just Mary and her father's spirit that haunts this house? Not at all. Former owners state that the house is home to over 18 ghosts in total. Apparently, the owners would constantly hear doors around the house being slammed shut and reopened.
I just can't hear the word house.
Trust
anymore.
Me, it was so hard not to say hoose.
Just in your proper Essex accent, in that oose.
We've spoiled the whole episode with one word. Apparently, the owners would constantly hear the doors around the house being slammed shut and reopened, as well as shadows of people cutting across the house. Stop laughing at me. I'm not a joke. Fuck me to tears. This is fucking awful. Oh, we might be in trouble in this one. Oh, fucking hell. Oh, right, pull it together, man.
I'm trying.
Get your shit together. Get it all in a bag and get it together. One room, Carl Beck's old office, when he first moved into the home, always has the smell of a freshly lit cigar, and they have even said to have seen strings of smoke slowly rising from inside the room. And even Canadian writer Deborah Schneider reported that on her stay in the house, her EVP machine was picking up the sounds of disembodied heartbeats and also the sound of heavy breathing. Now the Beck House is used. Now, fuck you, Aaron. I'm trying so hard not to say who, so I can't say now.
It's not even in the rest of the story. I'm just trying not to say who. Like mid-sentence.
I've got a tick all of a sudden. Canadian tick. Who's?
Hey guys, AI intern Ruth here. So instead of a listener's story this week, Aaron thought it would be good to share some reviews from people who actually stayed in the Beck House so we can hear their experiences. They did do a little audio recording saying this, but for how professional Aaron is with his journalistic skills, Jamie is just as professional with his editing capabilities and has lost this recording. So instead you have me explaining this. What a dumbass. Back to the guys. Enjoy.
Now, the Beck House is used as a B&B for paranormal enthusiasts around the world. It is still a very popular destination to this day. I've saved a few reviews from the visitors' stays, and it's really creepy how many people claim to have had experiences there. Right, so this one is from Sean Schofield. Very interesting place with quite a few things that happened. Most notably was the alphabet magnets on the fridge. I jumbled them up, and on two separate places, it wrote the word hot. Yeah, I'm a hoose.
H-O-O-S-E. Just phonetically spelled out.
I jumbled them up, and on two separate places, it wrote the word hot. Now, let me explain it. It was a hot day, and it was hot in the apartment. I complained about it a few times, and this was the output. There was lots of knocking, banging, footsteps, and the aroma of cigar smoke. Our voice box picked up a conversation with the lady of the house.
Okay, interesting. Well, that corroborates some of the story, at least.
Yeah, I like that. Next one is from Leah Jones. This haunted Airbnb was so fun. Brenda, the hostess.
I don't really think that about haunted houses, to be honest. This was so fun. We did
great
an exorcism.
Family fun.
The demon possessed my soul. This haunted house was a riot.
I was chased by a snarling Victorian woman. It's a cracking weekend.
This is better than my house.
I'm so glad I parted my money and stayed in your house. Brenda, the hostess, was amazing. She had the keys set out for us. Room was clean. Extras like towels and blankets, coffees and snacks were set aside for our stay. It was fun to explore and read up on others that had visited prior to us. Must try this out. The spirits and ghosts were very welcoming. It was very cool.
Very nice.
Very vague.
Thank
also.
You for being... Yeah, how were they welcoming?
Yeah, I know. It's just like, were they greeting you at the
just
door?
Just bowing at the door. Thank you, spirit.
There was no...
Take your coat, governor.
There was no steps on the way in. They all just bowed down in step formation. Yeah. But yeah, that one's very vague, but I mean, we move. Becca Vo, cool name.
All right, Mario then.
Stayed the night in room 301 and had an amazing experience. The owners are super nice, and not only did they leave us an amazing snack basket, but they filled us up. They filled us in.
filled us up.
Exactly what you want. Exactly what I was looking for in my Airbnb.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking hell.
It was also a sex dungeon. Did I forget to mention that?
Also, I got...
Jesus Christ. Good way for me to have to edit it all out. Can't wait to put a beep over that. Use your imagination, listener. Just conjure up what you think Aaron's filthy mind can come up with. For that bit.
The possibilities are endless. We definitely had some unexplainable supernatural things happen throughout the night. Knocking on the fridge, doors opening on their own when we had just closed them, and hearing conversations that weren't there. That weren't.
Weren't
that
there.
Weird.
The conversations weren't there.
In the hoop. Definitely we'll be returning for some more ghost hunting soon. Cool little.
That's cool.
This one's from Sandy.
Sandy.
Oh, Sandy.
Baby.
This is my second time staying in the apartment 302. My friend and I enjoyed our first visit so much we brought two other friends this time. Brenda graciously spent some time with us sharing info about the history of the house and the Beck family, as well as... Well, I've ruined the word house. I have trashed such an often used word.
Yeah, I'm fucked in my everyday life. When anyone's
listen about. To from the word ghost, where we alter your vocabulary and speech. We had some visitors during our stay. There is no doubt about that. At one point, we all set up our phones to video certain rooms. While we left and went outside for about 20 minutes, one phone picked up a man and woman. Doorknobs were rattled inside the apartment and footsteps heard in the hallway. But when we looked, no one was there. We had a spooky great time. If you're looking for a unique overnight stay, this is the place.
Very nice.
Great job. Great reporting, Aaron. Thanks, Jamie.
All right, Jesus. Okay, good reading fucking Google reviews, Aaron. Sick journalism skills, bruh.
Right, so those are the reviews done. Jay, how are you feeling about the hoose?
Oh, man.
The Beck hoose.
19 ghosts. We only really hear about the one ghost, right? They said 18 ghosts.
They said 18 ghosts, and they mentioned that they see shadows of people all over the house. But, I mean, most mentioned and the most seen is definitely Mary's spirit.
Yeah, I'd like to know a bit more about the other ghosts. I think, like, this is unfair, man. There's some biased shit towards Mary.
Well, I'm fucking hell. I think she's earned it.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? She gets given $1 while her fucking little brother is still shit in the bed. Gets a fucking fortune.
Yeah, he's in a ghost mansion
somewhere.
You know what I mean?
She's stuck off in the house pissed.
Yeah, he's off on ghost holiday. He's got the money.
But I do love the fact that they turned it into an Airbnb, which happens with a lot of haunted properties. I think they try and capitalize on it, of
yeah,
course.
Of course they
of course,
do.
But...
Oh, my Airbnb isn't selling that well. Sold it!
I promise it's ghosts here.
Ghosts are here.
They're not speakers in the walls, don't worry about them.
I'm not ruling it out as paranormal at all. Fair I think enough. It all depends on you before you visit.
Yeah. It'd be interesting just put someone in not knowing what the house is.
Yeah. It seems after the reviews, it seems that Brenda would always sit down the guest as well and tell him about the Beck family. So, you know, it's like you're putting it in people's heads, even if they for some reason didn't know about the Beck family before staying there.
Yeah, they're making sure that you know
that.
Interesting.
But is it still haunted? Quite possibly. Quite possibly.
Who can say? Not me.
Because I ain't going there. Am I fucked?
We're not doing it.
There's bears in Canada. And you know what else is in Canada? Canadians. And I've just slagged them all off.
Yeah.
I can't go there.
Aaron is not allowed in Canada. this episode
Canada is like one of the most beautiful countries in the world. And now I can't go because of a fucking ghost posse. Right. Shall we wrap it up there?
Let's do it, friend.
If you... Oh, there's no listener story. So if you want to be our next listener story, Jay, where can you send in their stories? I said that so wrong.
I was just ready. I was like... You can send your listener story to fromthewordghost@gmail.com or... Slide into our DMs.
Slide. There's a slide in the house. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Whee! That is going to do it for us at From the Word Ghost. How do I sign off? Join us next week and we'll continue to explore the unknown together. Good night.